and turn from not somebody else's wicked way, your wicked way. And if there's something inside of you, can I just encourage you, turn from it? He says, I'll hear from heaven. The Lord said, I'll forgive their sin. And he said, I'll heal their land. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Who's supposed to be the person that calls on the Lord?
We are
my people. So that's, we're going to do that tonight. So I want you to turn your Bible. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4. I want to look at a very, maybe you've read this before. I love this. Paul is writing to Rome, and he's bringing a principle to them to understand that when we are not sure, when we are confused, we can know that God has a plan for our lives. And he brings and he reiterates this story of Abraham, who had to wait 25 years for what God promised to him. I want you to hear that now. The Bible says in Genesis 12 that God tells him and gives him a promise, and then he's got to wait 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. Many times people don't want to wait 25 minutes. But this is such an incredible story and how the apostle reiterates this to the Romans at this time. He begins to tell them about this thought about Abraham. Abraham, you know the story. He gets the word from God. He works all his life to try to make something happen on his own. And then at 75 years old, he gives up. And God begins to speak to him and tells him, you're going to see the fruition of this. But he doesn't get to see the answer of what he had asked God for another 25 years. Abraham is 100 years old. Now, you know, I just pondered this a little bit. It's one thing to be 25 years old and have to believe God for something huge and wait until you're 50 to get that. It's another thing, Chuck Wood, to be 75 years old and to hear God say, you're going to wait another 25 years to get that. Your whole life has changed. You're in a different spot. You're different. But this is part of the whole process that God is trying to teach us in this, that even though Abraham, who, and we'll read it in just a minute, the Bible says his body was as good as dead. And God tells him, you're going to have a baby. My God, I'm waiting for that word from God. I'm just, that always excites me when I hear this word. But do you understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight? He's 75 years old. And God says, hey, even though you think your body is dead, I'm going to crank you up. And he didn't drink any pills or slap any oil on him. I don't know what took place. It was the power of God that came into his life. And God wants you and I to know that when you are believing for something to happen that you haven't seen yet, you are to believe him and hold fast and trust him for him to bring it to pass. So I just want to read a couple verses to you tonight, and I want to encourage you, number one, to have hope. Romans 4, verse 18 says this, who contrary to hope, I'm reading out of the New King James, in hope believed. Isn't that beautiful? The word contrary means opposite to nature, direction or meaning. You have to comprehend the story. Abraham is 100 years old, and God says, you're going to have a baby. Hello? He says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. God says, so shall your descendants be. How can this be? 100 years old, and God's bringing it to pass. But there's something that happens in our lives when we have hope in God. Hope means to anticipate with great confidence. And you have to have faith and confidence in him to know that God will bring something to pass in your life. Maybe not the way you planned it. Maybe not the way you think it's going to happen. But if he is the maker of heaven and earth, he is going to make it come to pass in your life. And you and I have to believe that, no matter what it looks like right now. And you and I have to stop giving up when we can't see it, or stop quitting when everything seems to be falling apart around us. God's working a plan for you and I. Abraham tried to take things in his own hands. He tried to do it on his own. He tried to hook up with somebody else to make God's plan happen. And God said, no, I've got a plan for you. And if you'll stay with it, I'm going to do something that you have never seen or experienced before. My goodness, I could just preach myself happy on this tonight. And I like what the Message Bible says. It says, and when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live, listen to this, not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Amen. Woo, that's good. I love that. You got to have confidence in the God that we serve, that God is going to step into your domain, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what you're feeling at any moment in your life, and he's going to bring you the answer that you need right then and right now. You might not see it, but it's coming your way. Number two, you must know what not to consider. This is so important. Verse 19, it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. He didn't even stop with Abraham. And he goes on to say, not only Abraham's body was dead, but Sarah was too. Her body. Do you all understand what I'm referring to here? Do you understand? Do you know this story? I just don't know how depth and how graphic I should really explain this. But here's the word for some of you tonight. You need to know what not to consider. You need to know what to turn away from. He did not consider his own body. He did not consider what was telling him one thing. His body was saying, this is not going to happen. My wife tells me the same thing. I say, honey, Abraham had kids at 100. She goes, forget it. But I don't pay any attention to that. No, I'm just joking. But we need to know what not to consider. Are you listening to me right now? Sometimes we are too open to whatever comes our way. And you got to turn some things off in your life in order to get the things that God wants for your life. Stop giving attention to things that have no bearing on what God wants to reveal and release into your life. Stop giving attention to things and even to people that are always trying to tell you one thing when you know God's got this for you. Amen. This is important. Don't let your faith and the conviction of God be diluted by the opinion of someone else, even when it comes to your own body. Have faith in God not to consider some things in your life. Come on, hear me tonight now. He didn't consider what seemed even to be a reality in his life. He made a decision that he was not going to open his life up to whatever it was going to come along. Some of you need to listen to me tonight. You open your life up to some things that are going to be potentially difficult and harmful to you. And God is telling you and I tonight, don't consider it. Everything that comes your way isn't good. You have to learn to discern. You have to learn to understand what is good and what isn't. What is profitable and what isn't? The Bible says all things are permissible, but not all things, hear it, are profitable. Yep. I'm going to take a drink, and I want you to just to think about that. How do you like my bottle? Thank you. This can be so hard sometimes. Giving attention to things that have no healthy bearing on our future or on our lives. Should I go down that road at all? Relationally? Individuals, people that you expose yourself to? Relationally that you expose yourself to? Places that we go? Things that we look at? Things that we take into our lives that have no value? We have to learn not only to consider things, but we have to learn what not to consider in our lives. God is able to do above anything that you can think or ask, even when it comes to a relationship in your life. We serve a God that has the power to wake up dead things in our lives. Three, I've got two more points, and then I'm going to be done. Don't waver. The Bible says don't withdraw, don't waver, don't hesitate, don't stumble, don't oppose at the promise of God. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I like how the King James says it. He staggered not. He didn't waver. He kept on doing what he was supposed to do. You and I, we need to keep on loving Jesus. We need to keep on serving the Lord. We need to keep on believing God. Abraham not only did not waver, but the Bible says that even when he didn't see what he wanted, the Bible says he gave glory to God. Anybody can praise God and put their dance on and lift their hand when everything is going up. But you want to know when the real rubber meets the road is when things are falling apart around you and you still lift up your hands to the maker of heaven and earth, and you still give God glory no matter what it is you're looking at. Abraham said, it looks bleak, it looks difficult, I'm not sure what's going to happen, I don't have what God says, but I'm not going to waver at it, I'm going to keep on believing, and I'm going to move forward and do what God has called me to do. Amen. And when I get right up to the point, I believe God, he'll bring it to pass. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You didn't know how God was going to work something out, but you kept on moving into it, and you got right up to the edge, and you wonder, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God, you worked it out. One of the greatest times of this in my life is when I could tell you multiple times, you know, as we were growing as a church and purchasing property, I wonder, God, how are you going to do all this? I don't know. And as I look back at now, that was nothing that when I sat across from my wife and I had to hear the words that she's got breast cancer and she's going to have a lumpectomy and she's going to have radiation, she's going to have chemotherapy. In the moment that I did that, and I had people say, where's your God now? What do you think about the Lord now? And I said, what do I think? I need him more now than I needed him yesterday. And in the midst of that, we would lift our hands and praise the God who gives and takes away because we trust in him. And he's going to bring it to pass. And he is with us no matter what. Amen. Amen. Come on. We're going to praise him. You can't waver. You can't just find fault. God, he didn't bring this. He didn't do this for me now when I wanted it. And he didn't make this happen when I wanted it. I hear this all the time. Come on. You can't waver. Don't give room for opinions. Let's give room not to waver at the promise of God. Amen. And then lastly, be fully convinced. Listen to this. This struck me tonight. Verse 21. Being fully convinced that what God has promised, he was able to perform. He didn't say, and I looked at 15 translations, and every one of them used that word, fully convinced. I can't even pronounce that Greek word. But it means that he has this. It means he'll perform it. It means that he won't give up. And then I begin to look at, where else is that? It's that word fully is in the New Testament three other times. It's in Romans chapter 14 and verse 5. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Why doesn't God just say, be persuaded? 2 Timothy 4, 5. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make, here's the word, full proof of your ministry. 2 Timothy 4, 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully, no, not just known, fully. No, what's the difference? And that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know what I really believe that means is that there is a walk with God. There is an experience with God that we can engage in. There's a lot of people, I see it all the time, people that go just so far with God. They're just so committed to him. They trust him just so much. They don't want to give too much of who they are to him because they are not fully convinced. They are not fully persuaded. They are not fully dedicated or devoted to him. But God tonight is looking to really pour out his spirit upon all flesh to people who are fully devoted, fully committed, fully persuaded that what God has promised, He is able to perform in our lives. Come on, do you believe that tonight? Fully persuaded, fully called, fully. The same God that brought Jesus up out of the grave. It's the same God that can bring hope and life into your life and to mine. You may not need this tonight, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to need it sometime. This week has been amazing. You know, I can't give names. I've been at the bedside of somebody that had no idea that this week they would be facing a heart operation with the news that was less than stellar after it was all done. And where do you go with that? I want to be fully devoted to God. I want to be fully entrusting in His life. I met with a young man this week, sitting at my table, said, "I've given up," and his family weeping because of addictions to drugs, that he wanted to commit suicide. I just got a text. He's in the hospital. He said, "Thank you. It's the first time in my life that I think I want to live." Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? This is powerful, that God wants to do these things in people's lives. And I could go on and tell you story after story. Talk to people whose lives are broken. Their marriages are blown apart. And God wants to do something incredibly powerful. That's why I just felt tonight that as we take a few minutes and pray, that you need to be fully persuaded about what God wants to do. Fully convinced that what God has promised, He is able to perform in your life and in my life. And I want you to pray tonight. I want you to believe God. There's families here. They're struggling with things. And you don't have to know details. Listen, get off the detail train, okay? You don't need to know everything about what everybody is feeling or going through. But you can pray. There are people in the body of Christ here that need a touch from God. They need help. There's people here that need answers in their lives. There's people here that are struggling with their walk with God. There's people here that they've got issues in their workplace. There's people here that are struggling internally. They're being pulled one way, and they know they need to go another way. You and I, we can help stem that tonight. I want to believe God. Debbie, just come on up to the piano. I want you to take the next 9 minutes, and I want you to pray. I want you to believe the Lord tonight. I want you to pray for the things that God is doing in the family here, things that are going on with other family members that maybe nobody else knows about, but you know about them, and maybe God laid them on your heart for you to do something about it. And tonight is the night for you to do that. I'll step back up here in about 9 minutes and just close in prayer. But I want you to please pray for those that I had just mentioned. Pray for those that are in LA tonight. The Lord is doing such a beautiful work in every single one of them. And I want to just ask God to continue to do something great in their lives. What is it in your life? What do you need God to do in your life? How do you need Him to touch your life tonight? Father, I thank you. Let's find a place to pray for just the next few moments. Father, I want to say thank you tonight. Let's pray for our country too when you're praying tonight. Pray for our region here, from Buffalo to Rochester, this whole corridor. Ask the Lord for our city, our community. Lay His hand upon it. Come on, that's my people, which are called by my name. Let's pray. Some of you say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." Yes, you do. You know how to talk. You can pray. You can talk to God. Come on, let's do it right now. Find a place. Let's pray. God, I want to say thank you tonight. Thank you.
Lord, there's people here tonight that have children that they're struggling. And without an intervention from you, Lord, Lord, we feel so concerned. So, Lord, I pray for those parents. I pray for that family. I pray that you will intervene, that you'll bring the right people into those children's lives and take the wrong people out. Thank you, God. Some that are dealing with physical challenges and issues tonight, Lord, you are the God that healeth us. By your stripes, we are healed. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary, for your blood that was shed so that we might know life, health, and healing. I pray for some that are here tonight that are struggling with destructive habits. God, that you would give them the power and the strength to be an overcomer. That you would receive all the glory for that. I pray for those tonight that are not fully persuaded and not fully convinced, but they're just kind of wandering on the peripheral, God, that, Lord, you'll have your way in their lives. And I pray no harm to come to them, but I pray that the love of Jesus will draw them to a place of not just being a follower, but fully devoted, committed lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We worship you tonight. We thank you, Lord God. I pray for each one that is here tonight, God. I pray that your hand would be upon them, and that even as a result of them being here tonight, that they will see a supernatural change. They will see a supernatural intervention within their lives, within their situation, within the ones that they love, God. Hallelujah. I pray for each family, God. Life, health, and hope in all that they do, Lord. We love you. We trust you. Thank you, Lord. Refresh each one, I pray tonight, in the name of Jesus. Well,